Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your touch. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I appreciated those words that Brother Lumpkin said this morning about Sunday school, about being here, being on time. And when he said that, it reminded me, I learned a lesson one time when we were living in St. Louis, going to Brother Branding's church. It was right just a few blocks from downtown St. Louis, and I guess the area of the city wasn't the best in town. But Brother Lumpkin was gone on harvest time business, and so I took the privilege of skipping a portion of Sunday school one day. Went down to the local hamburger joint with a couple friends between Sunday school and morning worship. And on the way back, we had rocks thrown at the car. Was going through a ghetto area, and these nuts that I were with, you know, they didn't want their car scratched up, so they pulled over to the side of the road, and just a few minutes we were surrounded by hostile people, and I thought I was going to get in a ruckus that I hadn't planned on just for skipping Sunday school. And I said, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, you know, I'm going to be a faithful attender of Sunday school, because I don't want any trouble with these people. It's not my car they were throwing rocks at. Just let me get back to Sunday school. So I hope the Lord doesn't have to do that to you to get you to come to Sunday school. Amen. The Lord's good, isn't He? Amen. How many of you were in church Wednesday night? All right. I don't know if you appreciated the message Wednesday night as much as I did. I like the presence of the Lord, don't you? Brother Lumpkin preached on the palms and the willows, and apologized kind of at first about it being something he had preached before. But when he said that, I remembered the first time that I heard him preach that. I was working on a job and not hardly ever able to be in church, not enough. And I remember I came in the swinging doors back there and sat down on one of the usher's chairs because I was late and still dressed up in work clothes. I remember him preaching that the first time, and it blessed me. And, you know, I like that about the presence of the Lord. Doesn't matter what you need, what you're going through. If you just be faithful and attend church, you're going to get something out of there that's going to help you live right. Amen. So I appreciated that, Brother Lumpkin. Amen. I'm going to speak just for a few moments this morning on something that the Lord laid on my heart several weeks ago, and I guess maybe it might be a little bit unusual for what we're used to on a Sunday morning, but nonetheless, I'm going to go ahead and bring it to you this morning because I feel like that's what God would have me to do. You know, in a church, when people gather together in a church, sometimes there's a false sense of security in a church. I know that there's security in the church, but sometimes to people that come and maybe are never a part of the church, but they just come and attend, a lot of times just because they come into a worship full atmosphere, a place where God's people are gathered together, a lot of times they get a sense of security that everything's going to always be all right just by hanging around a church. And that's a false sense of security. Just hanging around the church won't do you one bit of good when the rapture takes place. It won't do you any good at all. You've got to be born into this church. And I realize that it's easy just by getting to come in here and feel the presence of the Lord. It's easy to get lulled into that frame of mind that it's always going to be just like this. And tomorrow and Wednesday night and next Sunday we'll just meet together and it'll be like this all over again. And you can get into that rut and think that there is security just in the repetition of services. But friend, there's going to come a day when just hanging around a church isn't going to be good enough. You've got to be born into this. You've got to be baptized in His name. You have to be filled with the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, and you have to be living a God and cleanly life, God's life. Amen. It has to be part of you if we're going to make it. Praise the Lord. And when I began to think on this subject, and I thought, well, maybe this would be better at some other time. But when I thought of that, then I let my mind wander to past congregations and people that used to sit on our pews that don't sit on our pews anymore. And I said, God, if I had those chances again to preach to them, I wouldn't hold back anything. I wouldn't care if it was Sunday morning or Wednesday or youth service. Because there's people that used to be here, used to sit next to you on these pews, that were lulled into a sense of security and thinking that it was always going to be like that, but their time came and they're no longer with us. And so today I feel like that maybe there's somebody here that needs to hear what the Lord would have me to say today. Amen. I was sitting not too long ago, and talking to a man, and I made the statement, and we discussed it, and discussed it in many different ways, and it gave me a thought that I'm going to use today. And that thought is, why would God send someone to hell? Why would God send someone to hell? Like I've said, we sit here today and we don't think about the judgments of God. We sit here in His presence and everything feels good. And we feel the fellowship of one another. And it's not real easy to get people's mind off of that and think that one of these days, after the rapture takes place, there's going to be a judgment and we're going to be judged according to the works that we've done down here. And we're either going to make it to a place called heaven that it's easy to talk about, or we're either going to go to a place called hell that nobody likes to talk about. But if there isn't a place called hell, then this book that we read and talk about and study here, it's a lie. But God has led us to know in His Word that there is a place called hell. There is a place called hell. And when we think about that, and in view of being in His presence today, it's hard to think that God would send somebody to hell. Why would God send someone to hell? Why would God send someone to hell? Matthew 7:23 says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." There's going to be a separation one of these days. Matthew 8:12 says, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 22:13 says, "Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Matthew the 13th chapter and the 41st verse says in the Revised Version, "The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that cause stumbling, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." And Luke 16 and 22 says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." There's scripture to substantiate the fact that there's a place called hell. And when we think about it, and then we're sitting in His presence today, in the presence of God Almighty who created this universe, it's hard sometimes to rationalize that in your mind, that in the midst of all this good fellowship and God's presence in here, that one of these days there will be people that He's going to send to hell. And when we think about that, we ask ourselves, why would God send someone to hell? He loved me. He died for me. He shed His precious blood on Calvary's tree. Why would He send someone to hell? I want to tell you, first of all, God Almighty has that right to dispose of you any way that He wants to, because He created you in the first place. We're not our own today. We're not like the animal kingdom. When God created us, He made a man and He made a woman. We were created of Him. He made us. Praise the Lord. He established us upon the earth. We're not just here by accident. We're just not here because nature allowed us to be here. God put us in this earth. He established life. Amen. They tell me that scientists can make a bean that looks just like the bean that you might get out of your garden, has the same ingredients. Everything is the same. But you can take the bean that the scientists can make and put it in the ground, and it will never grow anything. It's the same. Everything's the same, but something's missing it. And that's life. God has given us life today. He created us. And because of that fact, first of all, He can dispose of us if He wants to. We just didn't happen here. God created you, and He created you for a reason. There is a purpose in all of life, and it's to live for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're different than the animal kingdom. When God created us, He put in us a soul. When we live and then we die because of old age or because of an accident, that's not the end of our journey. That's just the beginning. There's something different about us and the dog that lays under your table at home or is in your backyard. He doesn't have a soul. When God created us, He put something in us that longs out for a higher being. Yes. If you don't think there's a soul in you, why do you think you're here today? I don't care if you're even a visitor or not a part of this church. You're here for a reason. Why is that? You're looking for something. You know that there's something higher than you are. You don't know what it is, but there's something in your heart that's longing for something. Something that will bring a fullness in your life, a joy, a contentment. That is, that longing, that desire, just isn't common in the animal kingdom. It's because you have a soul in you. Something that God put there. A never dying and ever living soul that God wants to fill and use. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's a little verse that says, "O soul, if some fool tells you the soul perishes like the body, and that which dies never returns, tell him the flower perishes, but the seed remains, and lies before us as the secret of life everlasting." You don't die, friend. When you lay down, when we bring you down before here and conduct a funeral service, that isn't the end. That isn't the end. You have a soul in you. You're different than the dog that's outside, the cow that might be in your pasture. You're different. This world that we're living in likes to bring things down to an animalistic level. They like to tell you that we're just like the beast, that we just have a, basic sense of survival. That's it. That's all there is. Live, and that's it. Nothing ever happens after that. But let me tell you, friend, inside of you there's a soul. There's a soul. You're different. You're different.
Amen.
You're different. God created you. And because He created you, He can dispose of you today. He has that right. If you haven't lived right, if you haven't caused your life to be turned around and follow the paths of righteousness, God can dispose of you because He gave you life in the first place. He gave you life today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Man has always been in search of a higher being. You can read into history and past civilizations, the Aztecs, beings that maybe never knew anything about Jesus Christ. Never did, but they were always seeking. They always knew there was something higher than they were.
Yeah.
They worshiped the sun. They worshiped beasts of the field.
Yeah.
They didn't know what it was, but there was a longing in them. They were ignorant and didn't know about God and His goodness and in the blood of Calvary. Didn't know anything about that, but they still knew there was something in there. You don't find a beast that tries to worship something. No, they don't have that desire. That's not in their heart. But in a man's heart, in a woman's heart, there is a nature that cries out for something that's higher than they are. It doesn't matter how primitive the civilization was. They grew up. They worshiped the sun. They worshiped the moon. They didn't understand why. They just knew there was something above them. There had to be something greater than just this life, and so they sought and they tried to find it. They tried to find it. Why? Because they have a soul. God put that little area inside of them that's just responsive to His presence. That's the only thing that will ever reach you and touch you, is when you finally realize that inside of you there's something that only responds to God's touch. I can touch you and I can be your friend, but I never will be able to touch that area in your heart that only responds to God's presence. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So God has that right because He created you and He put in you a soul. Why were you created? Why did God create you? In the beginning, we can read the account of creation. And we know all that God created. We can look out today and drive and see all that God's handiwork has displayed in this earth. He made a beautiful creation. He made the land. He made the moon. He made it all. And it seems like as you read that account that with each step in creation, He was reaching out for something. He would do this. He would make the heaven and the earth. And He would say, that's good, but it wasn't good enough. And He would try something else. So He put trees. And after that, He said that was good, but it still wasn't good enough for Him. It still wasn't what God was looking for. So then He created animals, and He put them in the earth. And after that creative day, He said, that's good, but it still wasn't what He was looking for. So when He went all through creation and made this beautiful earth and put the animals here, that still wasn't what God was looking for. What am I talking about? I'm talking about what you were created for. And so when He got all finished with that, He decided, I'm going to make a man. I've made all of this, and it hasn't brought me the contentment that I want. That's God talking. That's God talking. So He decided He'd make a man. Why did He make me? Why did He make you? He made you so you would fellowship with Him. The God of the universe had no contentment in just His creation. He threw the stars into space. He made the galaxies that we can't even see into. But when He was all finished with that, God Almighty that can do anything, create anything, He still had a basic longing downside inside of Him. And that was that He would have some kind of a mortal being that would have fellowship with Him. That's why you were made, that you might have fellowship with Jesus Christ, with God Almighty. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wanted more than a beast. The beast couldn't worship Him. He wanted more than a tree. A tree's beautiful, but it wouldn't worship Him. He made something that would have fellowship with Him. Something that He could talk to. that there would be a responsiveness in Him. And when He made man, He put in him a soul. That's why when you read in the Scripture, God came down in the evening of the day and He walked with Adam and Eve and He talked with him. The God of the universe, can you imagine that? The God Almighty that can do anything, can create with the spoken word anything He wants to.
Yes.
Still, God Almighty had that loneliness in Him that He wanted man to worship Him.
Hallelujah.
Can you imagine that you affect God Almighty that much? That He longed for you to worship Him? That's why He made the first man, Adam. And in the evening of the day, He'd come down and Adam would walk with Him and they'd commune together. God Almighty, I don't know why He loved man. I don't know why He loved me. But He had the desire. I want fellowship with man. I can create anything, but I want something when I make Him that He'll worship me. That He'll worship me.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He wanted somebody to talk to. So you ask me today, why would God send somebody to hell? We're sitting in His presence right now. We feel His presence right now. We know He's here. We know He's in this place. We can feel Him. He's so real right now. I can feel Him all over me. And in the midst of this, why would somebody bring up hell? Why would God send somebody to hell? All
right.
Oh, and you say, I know why He'll send somebody to hell. He'll send somebody to hell because they drink and they smoke and they cuss and they commit adultery and fornication. Sure, He'll send you to hell for that. But that's not the only reason He'll send you to hell. You say, oh yes, I know why He'll send you to hell. He'll send you to hell because you hate each other. You're right, He will, but that's not the only reason. Don't cop out on me today. Why would He send somebody to hell? Oh, I know, I can answer that. For going out and killing somebody, for going and getting drunk and murdering my family, becoming jealous and enraged and wipe out a whole family. Yes, He'll do it for that, but that's not the only reason. That doesn't affect this basic congregation today. Most of you, I hope none of you would ever go out and do any of those things. But that doesn't mean every one of you is going to make the pearly gates. That doesn't mean all of you are going to go through the gate. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'll tell you why He'll send somebody to hell. I'll tell you today, it's not just for the murder. It's not just for the person that hates another person. It's not just for the white person that can't get along with a black person. I'll tell you why. Let's go back to why you were created. Why were you created? You were created to give worship and honor to Jesus Christ. You were created to live for Him, to work with Him. And if you're not doing that today, if you're not giving Him the fellowship today, if you're not giving Him the fellowship today that He created Adam for, the first man, Adam, if you're not giving Him that creation today, if you're not doing that in your created body, you'll go to hell for it. Why would God send somebody to hell? I'll tell you why. Because you don't do what He created you for in the first place. What good are you to God Almighty if you're not doing why you were created? You were created to walk with God and to give Him communion and to love Him and worship Him. He wanted somebody to walk in the evening of the day with Him and worship Him and love Him and honor Him. Hallelujah. And if you're not giving Him that today, He'll send you to hell for it. I'm sorry, I know that doesn't go together and you might not think so, but a lot of times we think of the ghastly, ugly, horrible sins that will separate you from God. But if you're not doing what God Almighty created you for, you're not in His plan. You're not in His plan. God wanted to be with man so much. He wanted to be with man so much that He created man and man separated himself. In the Garden of Eden, that was as close to heaven as you could get. It was heaven on earth, but Adam separated himself from that. Today, this church is as close as you're ever going to get to heaven in the earth.
Just like Adam had a little bit of heaven on earth, that's all you're going to get down here. And if you cause yourself to separate like Adam did, He'll throw you out of that portion of heaven just like He will here. Hallelujah. But God Almighty, He tried all through the Old Testament to get man to look at Him and worship Him because He wanted that communion. And finally, all through the books of the Old Testament, He walked and He talked and He tried to find man and tried to get man to worship Him like He wanted him to. But we find out when you start into the book of Matthew, He created and He made a great plan. Hallelujah. He decided He was going to robe Himself in flesh. In the act of the ages, God Almighty decided to send a man and walk with man. You think He doesn't want your communion? Why did He come to this earth? Why did He leave the portals of glory? Why did He have to leave heaven? Only God knows what kind of glory and majesty is in heaven. But because He had that desire to walk with a puny human like me, He said, I can't get to Him any other way. I've dealt with Israel in every way that I know. I've sent judges and kings and they won't live for me. So I'm going to have to leave up here and I'm going to have to descend down there. And I'm going to have to walk with man. I'm going to robe myself in flesh. And I'm going to go down there and I'm going to feel the pain that they do and I'm going to feel the disappointments. I'm going to have people turn against me like they turn against each other. I'm going to feel all of that. Why did He do that? Why did He go to that this place called earth? Why did He go to that measure? Why did He have to go that far? Because God Almighty, I don't understand it, but because God Almighty has that desire for you to worship Him. There's nothing He wants. I remember a message that Brother Mansfield preached at the camp meeting this year. What to give somebody that has everything? What can you give God? What doesn't He have? He has it all. He can do whatever He wants to. He can create. He can make anything. If He wanted to make a New York City, He can make a New York City. He created everything. But the one thing He wants is you sitting back there on the pew. I could say, God, I'm going to give you another earth. I'm going to fill it with cattle. Why? He doesn't want that. He can make that. I can say, God, I'm going to give you a Cadillac. You know, we all think material. God, I'm going to give you the best of what I have. He doesn't want that. God wants you. He wants you at an altar. Why would God send somebody to hell? He'd send somebody to hell because they don't worship Him. No, friend, you don't have to leave here today. You don't have to leave here today and go down the street and kill somebody to get a ticket to hell. Just sit where you're at. And while God walks up and down these aisles looking for somebody to worship Him, you don't have to go down the street and beat up your wife to get a ticket to hell. Just sit there while He walks up and down these aisles. That's your reason for being here today. Hallelujah. Why would God send somebody to hell just for not doing what you were created for? And that's to live for God Almighty. Hallelujah. 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 Revelations, the 21st chapter and the 8th verse reads, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That's a ghastly array of people on a march to hell. But do you see who's leading the bunch? You see the ones that are in front of the murderer and the idolater and the liar, the whoremonger. You see who's up in front? The fearful and the unbelieving. The people that'll sit in the service and say, "No, that's not for me. I just don't believe that's for me. I don't believe God would touch me." Don't believe. Unbelieving. Fearful of what people will think if they live for the Lord. That's the ones that lead the procession. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If it'll ever get into somebody's heart and realize the immense, the awesome responsibility you have in your relationship with God Almighty, when you think of the measure that He went to get you to love Him, finally having to robe Himself in flesh. Hallelujah. That's why He'll send somebody to hell. It's hard to talk about that today. It's hard to get anybody's attention when you talk about hell, especially in a service like this, because there's a false sense of security in the church. You think it's going to always be like that. You think it's just going to be like this next Sunday and the next Sunday, and I can come back and I can feel His presence. But if you're not giving God what He created you for, if you're not living for Him and giving Him communion and walking and talking with Him, then you're no use to God. That's why you were made. That's life's purpose for you. People go through life. They go to colleges. And they wonder, what am I going to do in the future? What's really my purpose? You can go into a whole lot of different things, but when you boil it down, God created you that you might have fellowship with Him. And if you're not giving that to God Almighty, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. Hallelujah. 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 But the fearful and unbelieving, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh God, I thank You for Your presence that I can feel here today. I thank You, Lord. But I don't want to get lulled to sleep into thinking that it's always going to be just like this, Brother Lear. I have to make my calling and election sure. I'm not going to get by on the person's walk with God that's sitting next to me. I can't make it on what my mom and dad have. God created me to worship Him. If I'm not doing that, God will get rid of me because I'm not doing what I was created for. When He made me, He put a little place inside of me called a soul. Its only touch that it can feel is the touch of Almighty God. It doesn't respond to money. It doesn't respond to prestige. It doesn't respond to the love of a family. It doesn't respond to any of the things that this world and its worldly goods can give me. It doesn't respond to that. All it responds to is God. Because when God made me, He put that there that I might have fellowship with Him. It's 10 minutes after 12. All you have to do to displease God today is just sit there and don't respond. That's why you have flesh. That's why you have fingers. That's why you have a nose. God created you to have fellowship with Him. If you're not loving Him, if you're not giving Him what He desires so much, then you're displeasing God Almighty. I want to give God what He made me for. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together. All He wants is You. No. Do.
will do. It's all he wants today is just you. Not just a part. He wants all of your heart. All he wants is all of you. All he wants is you.
To see people coming down to the altar to give their self to Him, not just a part. We heard an outstanding message this morning. You today, Lord, for finding me in my own cool of the evening. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared. We've been redeemed by the blood. Angels are desirous to look into that redemptive plan. They have to stand back, Lord, and watch your church redeemed with the blood. For without the shedding of blood, there was no remission. But Lord, you came. Hallelujah. You came. Praise the Lord. You came. Hallelujah. 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 And he walked. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.